I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. To the chorus. And all my life you have been faithful. So good, Lord, with every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Sing all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Yes, Lord, all my life.
And all my life you have been so, so
Hallelujah. Let's sing it all together. Yes, Lord, for you are God.
For you.
Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of knowing you. So many have not come to know who you are. But day by day, you're revealing yourself to us. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. For as we behold our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we've been changed, transformed, renewed. Deep within our person, changes are taking place. And out of our bellies are flowing rivers of living water because of the workings of the Spirit. And here we are tonight, just saying, Father, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Ancient of Days, have your way. You are Jehovah. You are Elohim. You are God. Be God in our lives. Arise. Let every enemy be scattered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to restrict my movement a little bit this evening, if I can help myself. You may be seated. Yesterday we started talking about this very special feast called Yom Kippur. It is the holiest of feasts in God. Yom Kippur is presented as the most holy day. And because it is that, could somebody please close that door? Because it is that, God calls us to holiness. In fact, the Word of God says, be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. In essence, God says, I want you to be like me. Praise the Lord. I want you to be like me. Would you say with me, I want to be like God? Say it again. I want to be like God. Now, say it like you really mean it. I want to be like God. Well, that's what God wants. He created you and I in His image and likeness because He wants us to be like Him. You know, every parent, when they look at their child and the child looks like them, say, that's my spitting image. He looks like me. Not only in the looks, but especially in character. God wants us to have His character. Praise the Lord. So He says, be ye holy, because I am holy. Now, what does that mean? If our capacity is not able to be what God says we should be in our own strength, then it has to be by His strength, by His power, that we become like Him. So God has to rise up in us so that we can rise up to be like Him. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes about why we come to church, why we worship, why we study the Word of God, why we listen to messages. What is the reason for that? What is the reason for that? Why am I singing? What is the reason for that? Why am I studying the Word of God? Why do I come to church? Well, in a sense, it is so that we can be like Him, so that we can do the Word. So the Word of God says, do not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the work. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't just say, do not be forgetful hearers, but be doers of the Word. It says, doers of the work. Because it is the Word that does the work. When God created, He created with words, and the words were work done. And if that is the case, then, are you listening? Are we on the same page so far? I knew I couldn't help myself. If that's the case, if God created by words, and He says, do not be forgetful hearers of the word, but doers of the work, then it goes without saying that doing the works of God, doing the works of righteousness, doing anything that glorifies God comes first and foremost from the confession of my lips. Can we get that? Is that okay? Your words affirm or betray you. And at this feast, God calls us to the place of repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance, Hebrews 6 says, repentance from dead works. Repentance from what? Dead works. Repentance from dead works. That's foundational. For the word of God says, we have to go on to perfection, having done certain things. Come with me to the book of Hebrews. The 6th chapter. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of, first then, repentance from dead works. So the first thing that God wants us to address is that at Yom Kippur, for us, we do not celebrate it as a ceremonial thing, but as a feast of God. Why does he make it a feast of God? Which means it's a feast that we'll continue to celebrate for eternity. For eternity, we're celebrating this. Why is it that he has Yom Kippur? It is to bring us to a place of renewal, reflection, refreshing, recalibrating, coming back and saying, okay, how are things going? How am I doing in him? Where am I not letting God be God in my life? How can I change that? Father, I repent of every dead work, everything that I've not done by your Spirit. I repent. I cry out to you. So it's a call to repentance, but this feast is also the feast of judgment. In fact, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, there's 10 days, and those days are called the days of awe. And those are the days for the Jewish saints. They're the days that they cry out to God in repentance so that they can have a better new year. For us, Jesus has become the judgment, the atonement. He's paid the price. And this is that time that we reflect on what Jesus has already done, the price that he paid for us to be who we are. For there is no me without you. This is a time we reflect on the fact that he gave to us the gift of righteousness. And therefore, we need to be thankful. It is remarkable that this Yom Kippur, for us Canadians, this Yom Kippur is followed directly by Thanksgiving. This is a time for us to thank God. I am not a mess because of who you are. You paid the price for me. I am thankful. It's not just something that we just casually do. It's a time of reflection. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us In Romans chapter 5, we read some of that yesterday. Romans 5. We looked at the passage. Actually, let me start from chapter 4 first. Just the first few verses of chapter 4. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found?" What did he find? "For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God." So in that sense, it's saying Abraham was not justified by works. So verse 3 says, "For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God." He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. "Not to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." And the point I'm trying to get across to us is this: Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. His righteousness did not come from works or the works of the law. In fact, there was no law. Are we together so far? It says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the" who? Justified who? The ungodly. "His faith is counted for righteousness." That is how we receive the gift of righteousness. We believe. We believe what? We believe in God and his word. Now, at this time, Jesus was not born yet. There was no law. So there was no sacrifice in terms of atonement for sin. The only thing that was operational was faith. Faith. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified. The way Paul puts it, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, how does that relate to Abraham? He has faith, but there's no sacrifice yet. The word of God says, "Before the foundations of the earth, Christ died. The godly for the ungodly." Before the foundation of the earth, Christ died. So when he believed in God, his belief in God was connected to the sacrifice that was made even before the world was created. So every time we act in faith, watch this now, it's important. Every time we act in faith, we act in faith based on that which God has already done. Because everything in God is a now thing. If it has never happened before, and you believe, it is because in God, it is done and it is possible. So, therefore, there is no limit to what we can believe God for. Let me say that again. There is no limit to what we can believe God for. Let me say it a third time. So I get it, and you get it. There is no limit to what we can believe God for. Because whatever it is that we believe in God for is capable in God. Because God, it is out of God that anything that is God created. If it did not exist and God thought about it and spoke it, it will exist. Hallelujah. And because God is a God who knows yesterday, today, and forever, he knows every crazy thing that anybody is going to believe him for. He already knows, oh, this person is going to believe me for that crazy thing. Okay, it is ready. It's ready. What is my limitation then? My limitation is me not letting God arise in me. What is my job? To come into agreement with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Romans 8 says, the one who gave us his Son, won't he give to us every other thing that we ask? Because giving his Son is the biggest. Everything else is way below. So I can dare believe. I can dare trust. I can dare. Because the Word of God says, one, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Two, he will do exceedingly far beyond that which I dare ask or think. God will do exceedingly far. That's found in Ephesians 3. Right? Is that what the Word of God says? God wants, it says, I dare you to think. I dare you, double dare you, to imagine something that you want done. He says, I'm going to exceed it abundantly. Hallelujah. So, what is the challenge to us? The challenge is for us to just believe God. Now to him that is able to do. To him that is able to do. To him that is able to do. Exceedingly. And that would be good enough. But he says, abundantly. Oh, wait a minute, exceeding abundantly, that is way more than my pay grade. Above. Huh. All that we ask or think. Well, what is it? According to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. So that exceeding abundant above is based on the power that worketh in us. What is that power that worketh in us? The earlier passages, starting from, actually let's take it from verse 15 of Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:15. It says, this is where part of the name of our church came from. It says, It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Actually, let's take it for verse 14 so it's all contextualized. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees unto the who? Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. How? By his spirit in the inner man. So this is a strengthening of our inner man, our capacity to flourish in the goodness of God and the power of God is based on what is happening in our inner man. The inner man of the spirit and the soul. And when you're strengthened in your inner man, it says, then Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. This is serious. So it is in the strengthening in our inner man that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So does everyone have faith? Do you have faith? We are saved by what? By grace. How? Through faith. So, if you don't have faith, grace doesn't work. And salvation is not there. Not everyone who is in the church is saved. Your salvation is only possible through faith. Through faith. If you're in church and you're not moving in your life through faith, you're just a religious person. You're no different from anybody else. It is by faith that grace brings you. He says, and because that happens, no one of us can boast that we did it in ourselves. It is through faith that Christ may dwell, 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 that Christ may dwell. That means that Christ may live, abide in your hearts by faith, that ye being, present tense continuous, rooted and grounded in love. And that is necessary because faith works by love. So love has to be there. That's why the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. Because the love of God and growth is not possible, if I may put it in scientific ways, in the caustic, acidic atmosphere of hate and apathy. It only flourishes in the arena of love. And where hate is, love is not present. Say, how do I know that love is present? Because love will always cast out fear. And the reason we most times do not love is because of fear. It is because of fear that we hate. It is because of fear that we are judgmental and critical. It is because of fear that we fail to forgive and become bitter. Fear. If I'm not like this, then they are going to do this. Then they are going to hurt me. Then they're going to steal something from me. Then they're going to lie. So I'm not going to forgive. And so I can estrange myself from them. The one thing that you cannot use to separate yourself from the world is hate or fear. The way you separate yourself from the world is by loving God. Your love for God causes you to estrange yourself from the world. It says we're rooted and grounded in love. And when that happens, he says, then you will be able to comprehend with all saints, watch this, what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Why is that important? That you know the love of Christ is passeth all knowledge because you're rooted and grounded in love. Why is that important? That he might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. That's what God really wants us to have. The fullness of himself in us. I need the fullness of God in me. What about you? This is the deal. As a preacher of the word, everything I'm saying to you, I'm saying to me. If you notice how I pray the us prayer. It is not, look at me over here, and look at you over there. No. We are all in this together. We all need to grow together. We're all in different stages in our growth, but we are all growing, learning, increasing in Him. Nobody has arrived. There is still layers and layers and layers upon layers to be excavated in the knowing of who God is. And God is calling us all to that so that we are all filled with the fullness of Him, the fullness of God. Now, let's understand verse 20 now. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that, then? It is stating to us all the things that he talked to us about, from verse 14 right through to that particular point. He's saying, you know what? All of that is going to be the doing of God. And He's going to do exceedingly far above all that you dare ask or think. So what is the connecting point in all of this that I dare ask or think? Dare ask or think what? That God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, can come All the fullness of God can come and dwell in me. He says, I dare you to ask that. I dare you to think that. And I will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. You dare think that the fullness of the Godhead is going to come dwell in you? Okay, think it. Imagine it. And I'm going to do more than that. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. And if you love me and you keep my commandments, the Father and I shall come and make our abode in you. We're going to come dwell in you. We're going to come tabernacle in you. And Yom Kippur is leading us to that feast of God tabernacling with us. It's all connected. It's all connected. God's saying, listen, you need to repent. Stop thinking foolish. Stop thinking like the ungodly. Abraham was justified by faith. It wasn't because he was this religious guru. He obeyed my word. I told him, leave. I'm going to take you somewhere that you don't know. And the guy picked up his everything and said, moving. He said, your obedience is what I need from you. I just need you to obey. Because I'm going to instruct you on radical things to do. Hallelujah. Now, why is this possible? Why is this possible? In Romans 5, it tells us about the fact that Jesus, our Lord, became our atonement. And in that atonement, he sanctified us to himself and reconciled us to God. In Romans 5:10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Where this katasso is a different word from the word katalage, but they have the same trust, same meaning basically. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. Katasso. We shall be saved by his life. And yesterday we settled the fact that in his death, he paid for our sin. But in his living, he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We walk uprightly. We are alive. We're made alive. We receive the Zoe life. We shall be saved by his Zoe. We shall be saved by his life, the God life. Hallelujah. Now, what is this Zoe life? Zoe life is the life that causes me to be animated. Zoe life gives me vitality. Zoe life causes me to experience the aliveness of my soul. Zoe life. Now, the Zoe life is like the life that God breathed into the first Adam, which is his words. He breathed, and Adam became a living soul. That's Zoe life. So what is this Zoe life? Zoe life is the word of God received. Oh, help me, Lord. Zoe life is the word of God received. If I am trying to pump oxygen into you and you don't receive it, will your body be oxygenated? No. If the word of God, which is the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. If the word of God is coming to you and you're not receiving it, will you live? You die. That's why people die in church. They're sitting down there, not listening to the word of God, and they die. How is that possible? You're in the church where the word of God is being preached. An uncompromised word is being preached. How is it possible for you to die in that setting? Because you don't receive the word. Well, why don't you receive the word? Because your heart is hardened. Why is your heart hardened? Because maybe you are angry at the man of God, or angry with God, or angry with somebody in the church, or whatever. And so you are there, and all you are is a statue. A dead statue. You've not been revitalized by the Zoe life. And what needs to happen? Repentance. That's what needs to happen. Repentance. That I'm sorry that I'm holding a grudge against my brother or my sister over there, whatever. You repent, and all of a sudden, life comes into you. And God kicks you back into life. You become a living soul. Because of the ministry of reconciliation. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And having received this reconciliation, and I'm going to clarify that word in just a moment as I head down the last quarter. He says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have now received the atonement. Now, that word there is the word katalage. And I explained that word to us before. Katalage is a word that has a value base attached to it. Say, for example, I want to go to to Europe. I have Canadian dollars. But they don't accept Canadian dollars over there. I have to do an exchange. And the exchange is based on the value and worth of the currency I'm exchanging to, so that I can do business in that country. Now, this word, katalage, and also The previous word I've been using of reconciliation, katarso, they have the same exact meaning. An exchange for equal value. Equal value. So when we were atoned for, we received equal value. Value to what? The value of who he is. The value of Jesus is what we received. That's what our atonement is. In the Old Testament, the word for atonement was different, and the meaning of it was different. In the New Testament, it's a different word. In the Old Testament, it's the word kafar. And kafar just means covering, hiding something so that nobody sees it. But the problem with that, excuse me for my grossness right now, if a baby has filled his diapers and you bring powder, Johnson & Johnson, and perfume, and you spray the perfume and you put all the powder in there, it might mask, but it does not get rid of. And that's what happened in the Old Testament until Jesus Christ came. And when he came, he exchanged places and gave me the exchange of himself, and he took unto himself myself. He took me and all of my sins to himself and gave me all that he is. And he says, now there's a balance. What do you mean there's a balance? I give you my righteousness. I give you my holiness. I take your sin. Are you going to always have that sin on you? No, no. I'm going to dump it. I'm going to bury it. I am going to eradicate that. Huh? Yes, I'm going to do all of that. But I tell you what, in doing that, I'm going to really be doing something else. What are you doing, Lord? Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as wool. Excuse me, what did you just say? He says, I'm going to make your sins white as wool. Huh? You don't believe me? Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to flip that evil that the enemy tried to put on you. I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to make the bad things that happened in your life, I'm going to turn it around and bring good out of it. That's what I'm going to do. So I don't want you sweating and grieving over your past. I want you to be celebrating the good that's going to come out of your past. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing what the Lord is saying to us. Too many times we grieve over our past and how bad things were and how terrible, and then we conclude nothing good is going to happen from me. No, that's not what we're doing. I want to take your bad stuff and flip it around. Look at it. Come, let us reason together. In other words, I want you to have my God sense. Think God way. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is redeeming my past. Say it with me. God is redeeming my past. Hallelujah. Stop sweating your past. He's flipping it around. He did it with Saul. Saul is a red, hot-headed individual. He's going to kill all these believers. And God says, that's my man, that's my man. The guy is going, he's leaving Jerusalem to go to Damascus, Syria. Yeah. And God says, I like this guy, he's a go-getter. Let's turn his sins around. He flips it and the guy becomes just as radical. Just as radical as he was before. The things that you think are bad in your life, God wants to take and turn around. All of those areas, oh, this is such a mess. No, start thanking God that He can turn it around. Amen? God is turning it around. 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 There are no mistakes in your life that are not redeemable. Please hear that. There are no mistakes in your life that are not redeemable. All you need to do is believe God, and it shall be accounted unto you for righteousness. Equal value. So God gave me the value of Jesus. That's the value that I have today. That's what I'm worth to Him. Jesus is, just as the Father loves me, the Father loves you with the same love. Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, the reason you don't think so is because you think, unlike God, that you have become one with Him. You don't believe that. We are one with Him. Why do you think the Lord calls His church His bride? Well, because He said, the first bride, the two shall be one what? One flesh. So when He calls us the bride, He's saying, you and I are going to be one. Praise the Lord. God has great things on His mind for us. And to settle it, let's put it this way. We all believe that Jesus is God, right? We all believe that Jesus was the price that God paid for our redemption, right? Jesus was the payment at the agora, the marketplace of sin and slavery, to redeem me. To redeem means to buy back. So Jesus paid a price. The price, or the Father paid a price. The price that the Father paid was the price of Jesus, so that I can go free. If I go to the store and I buy something, maybe this iPad, maybe this iPad is worth $1,000. When I go to the market, and the price, the guy who's going to sell it to me for, he marks it as $10,000. I know it's worth $1,000. The guy says, I want to keep this. It's my last one. I won't keep it. I said, I'll give you $10,000 for it. He said, $10,000? Sure, I'll give it to you. The value of this iPad changed immediately from that very moment, from $1,000 to $10,000. Because that's what I was willing to pay for it. And that was what was acceptable by the seller for it. Well, the price God paid for you and I was the price of God Himself, the price of Jesus. That changed my value. No matter how much everybody else valued me, that changed my value. The Bible says, my value is more than this world. Say, how did you figure that one out? The Word of God says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So there's no profit if you lose your soul, even if you gain the whole world. So my value is beyond this world. And my value, God says, is the value of Himself. That's how much He values you. Oh, because you see, God will not ask you, are you listening? God will not ask you to do anything that He will not do Himself. Will you accept that? Okay. Then you must accept this then. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the love that God has for me is the love that He has for Himself. And at this time of Yom Kippur, that's part of our reflection. You mean God judged Himself so that I don't get judged? Yeah. You mean God is calling me to repent because He believes that I can be better than what I am doing right now? Yes. You mean that God wants to take possession of my life and transform me? Yeah. All of this is what we're talking about when we talk about Yom Kippur. And from here, we're going to talk about Sukkot. And you will see the tracing of God's thinking all the way to the tabernacle, and the tabernacles around the tabernacle. We're going to go deeper, exploring every detail as we go to the ark, if God helps us go that far. It will be a great time for you and I. And I encourage you to be ready. Because God wants to tabernacle with us. We are not going to leave this world weaklings. Not when greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that's in the world. I'm not called to be afraid of what the devil's doing or trying to do. The devil needs to be very concerned about what I'm doing and how much trouble he and his cohorts are in because I'm still kicking and alive. And the amazing thing about it all, are you ready for this? The one who asks for a double portion of his spirit, Elisha, dies from a sickness and he's buried somewhere. And there were people that were going to bury their friend and they see the enemy coming and they throw his body and the body hit the dead body of Elisha. And as soon as he hit the dead body of Elisha, he jumps up alive and starts running with the others. What a sin that is. Oh, my Lord, the things God is going to do through his people. And all he's saying to us in these three feasts is, let God arise. In other words, take the limits off of me. I am God, and I will do exceedingly far beyond that which you dare ask or think. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Father, we are thankful for your word that says to us that we can reason with you and that you will, in your loving kindness and tender mercies, turn our lives around. Though our sins be as scarlet, you shall make them white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, you shall make them as wool. But then you said, if you are willing, if you're willing and you're obedient, that is a true definition of what faith is. You said, you shall eat the good of the land. And Lord, oh God, we come before you today with repentant hearts, and we say, Father, forgive us for belittling and minimizing your capacity to do great and greater things in us and through us. Lord, look beyond our faults. Look beyond our foolish ways. Father, look, behold your Son, our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, and deal with us in accordance to his obedience and willingness, helping us to be transformed and be renewed. Lord, do the greater things that you have promised. Father, we don't want to bat under average. We don't want to bat at average. We don't want to bat above average. We want to be 100% like you. No trace, no lines, no wrinkles, no spots. Nothing unlike you in us. Father, do it because of your loving kindness and tender mercies. Do it that which our Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish not be in vain. You said your word will not return back to you void and empty because you don't send it in vain. You sent your Son, who is your word. He was not sent in vain. What he came to accomplish must be manifested in us as individuals and as your church. Lord, do it in your mercy. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you called to be our comforter. You called to be our teacher. You called to be the one, the paraclete that walks alongside of us so that we can reflect the very glory of the Father in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your thing. While we are awake, while we are asleep, in every state that we are in, help us. Help us. We're crying out for help. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to share in communion together at this time. And while we're waiting to do so, you can release that special Yom Kippur offering. God says we should not come to Him empty-handed. He says we need to bring a sacrifice of fire. That means bring something tangible to Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, and lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. Father, we lift You, Lord. Lord Jesus, we lift You higher. He said, if You be lifted up, You will draw all men to Yourself. We're reminded of the fact that You were lifted up on the cross. And because of that working, the dealings instituted while You hung on that cross and when You went to the depths of hell, that billions of people today are part of the kingdom. Lord, as we take of this body and we take of this cup, we are declaring that You are lifted up. And we're saying, Father, draw all men unto Yourself. You are in this place. Draw all men to this place by Your Spirit, so let it be. Bring Your people together in the spirit of unity, Father. Thank You for the manifestation of Your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Take up the cup or the body and eat. Now we'll take of the cup, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins and became the atonement of satisfaction before God. As we take of this cup, may we not only see ourselves transformed and renewed, may we see the masses come into the Lord Jesus Christ. Take of this cup and drink. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, I like the display of the next set of meetings that we're going to be having at the Sukkot meetings. Same theme, let God arise. And it starts next Wednesday, the 16th, to the 23rd, Wednesday to Wednesday. That means every evening at 6:30, we'll be here. Amen? That includes Wednesday, 6:30, Friday, 6:30. Those are normally 7 o'clock. Sunday, 6:30. And the last Wednesday at 6:30 also. And of course, that includes Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. In essence, Wednesday to Wednesday at 6:30. Have that burnt into your spirit. But don't just come alone. Invite somebody else. Let them come to hear what God is going to say to us. I'm going to be bringing a teaching by the leading of the Holy Spirit. While I'm speaking, I'm going to have one or two other speakers. But while I'm speaking, I'm going to be bringing a teaching I didn't do. I don't remember doing it other than the fact that I did it at very, very early days of the first church we started called Seven Oaks. That would be in 1985. Oh, yeah, 85. That's the last time I think I spoke on this particular subject in detail. Now, I may have touched it here and there, you know, dealing with a particular aspect since that time, but nothing like this. So I encourage you to come and position yourself to drink of the Word of God, because something is going to happen to us. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm expecting God to do something in me, to me, through me, by me, and for me. Come with that same. And let's see what the Lord will do for us. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'll cut off from those that... Oh, and by the way, there will be no Sunday evening service tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving Sunday. I want to make certain that you have your evening, if you're having dinners or at your home or with somebody else, family or friends, that you have that time. But as you go to that, be thankful. Give God thanks for all that He's doing, the lives that He's touching. You know, before I came this evening, I got a text message from the last television broadcast we did from here into 180-something countries, and all the salvations, the thousands of people that tuned in to the stream, those that called, and the lives that were changed. Oh, the man of God that I worked with, there was two of us, you know, we got it going. And we didn't hold back. Very confident, knowing that most of those countries are Muslim countries. I hear it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And while I'm going at it, I'm saying, Lord God Almighty, you know where, you know who I'm talking to. Oh God, what are you doing? But we just went for it. And thank God for the report. You know, oh, amazing things happened. So we are grateful to God. Amen? Yeah, God bless you. Do I have anyone on Zoom?